Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as we join our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. This is who we are and what we believe. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we pray. Heavenly Father, we gather before you this morning with hearts that look to you for strength, for comfort, and for hope. As we approach Thanksgiving Day this Thursday, we pause to remember your faithfulness, your provision, every blessing, both seen and unseen, that you pour into our lives. Teach us to be thankful people, not only in seasons of abundance, but even in seasons of grief, uncertainty, or sorrow. You are good at all times, and your love endures forever. Father, today our hearts are especially tender as we lift up Eve Rader. You know the shock, the pain, and the deep grief she feels after the sudden passing of her husband, Tony, this past Wednesday. Wrap her in your unfailing love. Surround her with your peace that passes all understanding. Give her strength for each new morning and comfort for each new night. Lord, we also pray for those in our congregation who may find this Thanksgiving season a bit difficult. Those missing loved ones, those struggling with burdens, those facing uncertainty. May your grace be their strength and your joy be their song. As we continue in worship, prepare our hearts to hear your word, renew our faith, and draw us deeper into your rest, your mercy, and your love. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to have you here this morning. Have you all noticed how much the church has been growing the last several months? So many people here, which is great. Yeah. Just was introduced to a new couple that's been coming over the last month and a half. Very, very sweet people from Kewanee, the big city. Came all the way over. So we're down a little bit this morning, but not much because the hunter's out chasing down these evil, evil deer.
Amen.
I too was out. As I speak, there is a deer sitting in my pickup truck. My wife said, yeah, the deer's not so happy. My wife said, you put a deer in the truck? There's going to be blood. It's blood, not paint. We'll spray it all out. Everything has to be just right with this woman. That's why she's so adorable. Come here. Come on. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Hey. Look at her shoes. Those are the bomb.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have more shoes than her, which is terrible. But anyway. All right, go behave yourself now. I have snakeskin shoes on this morning. I got them in Africa. I did not, however, kill the snake. This morning, talking about Thanksgiving, we're going to be reading for Habakkuk. There's a name for you. If you're looking for a name for your baby, Habakkuk. Chapter 3, verse 17, it says, though the fig tree does not blossom, and no fruit is on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Now, what you think about this? Seems a little odd. You would think he'd be saying, because the fig trees are blossoming, because there's fruit on the vines, because the crops are doing great and there's all this food, because all the livestock are prospering, we will rejoice. He says exactly the opposite. Though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields proves jack squat, my translation. Though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Wow. Last couple of weeks we've been talking about what it means to be thankful. Thanksgiving is easy when things feel full. When the table is heavy with food and our hearts are light with laughter. But what about when the cupboard is empty? The doctor calls. The news is bad. What does gratitude look like when the storm hasn't passed? Habakkuk gives us an answer. His world was collapsing. Crops had failed. The economy had crashed. Enemies were closing in. Yet he wrote one of the most defiant declarations of faith in all scripture. Though in spite of all these things, yet will I rejoice. Thanksgiving isn't pretending everything is okay. It's proclaiming that God is still good even when everything else isn't. Habakkuk lists several disasters in just these three verses: agricultural, economic, emotional. No fruit, no olives, no fields, no flocks, no future. And yet he makes a deliberate decision. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. That's not denial, it's defiance. True faith doesn't ignore pain. It overcomes it by remembering who God is. We read about Paul and Silas a few weeks ago, how they were imprisoned, beaten, and chained. And what do they do in the middle of the night? They are singing and praising God. Why? Because praise isn't dependent on surroundings. It's rooted in God's presence. You see, gratitude doesn't deny the storm. It discovers God's presence in the middle of it. Remember the 10 lepers that were healed. Only one returned to Jesus in Luke 6:17 and gave thanks. All 10 were physically healed. Only one returned. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Thanksgiving is more than just manners. It's faith in motion. When you thank God in advance, you're saying, I trust you even before I see the result. That's the tricky part. We want to see the result and then be thankful. But true faith is thanking God before you even see the answer. It reminds us some years ago back, quite a few years ago, 1973, I believe, was the time. Deb and I were newly married. We were, test, hello. Did I just disappear? I'm back. You guys tired of hearing me back there? Anyway, newly married. We're in Decatur, Illinois. Anyway. And I can't remember what happened. Anyway, we needed to come up with $150. Now, we're a little stressed out because we didn't have $150. Now, to put it in a little bit of perspective, $150 in 1973 was like $1,100 today. So it's a significant chunk of change. And we didn't know what to do. And of course, you know, I called Mom. You can always count on Mom. So I called Mom. Mom, we're in a mess. We need $150. She said, don't worry. I'll send you some money in the morning. Put it in the mail. And immediately I said, oh, thank you, Mom. And I hung up, and I just felt so relaxed. I was all stressed out. First of all, nobody wants to have to call their mom, you know, in a situation like that. But also, no. But what had changed? Nothing. I hadn't had any money. Can you imagine that I'd call her back 10 minutes later and said, Mom, where's the money? She said, I told you, I'll send it. But I don't see it. Right? That's the way we act sometimes. Where is it, God? Where is it? Where is it? No, I was giving thanks even though we couldn't see it, and it was some days before it showed up. It was before FedEx, good old-fashioned snail mail, and there was no way to Venmo anybody. But very grateful. You know, when farmers plant their seeds and they get all done, the harvest is in, they're happy, they celebrate. Once the crop is in, they're happy because they trust the process. A cynic would walk in and say, I don't know what you're happy about. All I see is dirt. If despite God's promises in your life, you look around and all you see is dirt, you're not in the place of faith. Why are they rejoicing? Because they know the process. They planted the seeds. It takes a while. Be patient. Be patient. They know it was coming. We think we must feel joy before we can give thanks. But Scripture teaches that gratitude comes first, and then joy follows. Habakkuk says, I will rejoice. You notice joy is not a circumstance, it's a choice. And the Hebrew word for rejoice here literally means to spin around with delight. I thought I'd try that this morning, but I was afraid it'd fall over. I was like a little girl, just happy, spinning. Whee! That's the kind of joy. Habakkuk is saying, even when I have nothing, I'll dance anyway because I still have God. Gratitude unlocks joy because it reorients our heart towards hope. If your joy feels low, start thanking God out loud. Gratitude breaks the fog of despair. Sing, even when you don't feel like it, because joy is not the result of perfect circumstances, but the fruit of a thankful heart. When you give thanks in the storm, you're not ignoring the waves. You're declaring that Jesus still walks on the water. Gratitude is a statement of faith. The God who was faithful yesterday will be faithful tomorrow. That's why it's so important to start experiencing God, especially at a young age, you young people. Trust God for stuff. Pray. See what he does. Every answer to prayer, every miracle, even tiniest miracles, it will have a major impact in your heart. It'll strengthen your faith so that you can be strong for the storms that are yet to come. When you don't understand what God is doing, stop and remember what he's already done. Look back on the footprints of faith in your life. Every answered prayer, every door opened, every tear turned into testimony. The past faithfulness of God becomes the anchor for your present storm. When the Samaritan returned the leper to thank Jesus for healing him, he wasn't quiet about it. The Bible says he was loud. Gratitude is contagious. When believers give thanks in adversity, the world takes notice. Anyone can praise God when things are great. It's when we worship in the valley that our brightest witness shines. People are watching how we handle hardship. Your gratitude in the midst of pain may be the greatest sermon they ever hear. Storms don't change quickly, but gratitude changes how we walk through them. Habakkuk didn't say, don't worry, the figs are going to blossom soon. He said, even if it doesn't ever blossom, I will rejoice. That's a declaration of faith. Reminds me of the Old Testament in the book of Daniel, the three Hebrew young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There again, names for your babies. Shadrach, get over here. Anyway, they had been arrested because King Nebuchadnezzar had built this big statue they're supposed to worship. And his three guys wouldn't do it. Why? They're young Jewish men. Commandment says, thou shalt not worship a false god. And the King Nebuchadnezzar threatens to throw them alive into the fiery furnace if they don't bow down and worship. And these guys make a great declaration. He says, we believe our God is able to deliver us. I've heard sermons, preachers talk about that. That part of their statement was the powerful part. I don't think that was the powerful part. It's the next part that's the powerful part. Because they said next, but even if he doesn't, we will not bend. We will not bow. We will not capitulate. They make a great thing. We know God will save us, but even if he doesn't, we don't care. That's faith. That's faith in God. Don't let your faith be determined on how things turn out. If it turns out well, I'll trust in God. No, we believe God, we trust him, we thank him, even if things don't turn out well. That's mature faith, the kind that doesn't depend on conditions. And that's the heart of Habakkuk here. Gratitude doesn't deny reality. We get it. Sometimes things are awful. Sometimes they're bad. Sometimes, even in the midst of bad, they get worse. It's life. This isn't heaven. We're just passing through this place. Gratitude doesn't deny reality, but it declares God's sovereignty over it. You can't always choose the weather, but you can choose how you worship. You may not control the storm, but you can control your response in it. When you choose gratitude, peace begins to replace panic. It's like when I hung up, thanks, Mom, and I hung up, oh, I felt so much better. Still nothing had changed. The money was days away yet, but I knew it was coming. Jesus gave thanks. Thanksgiving is a gospel issue at its core. If we only thank God when life is good, we've forgotten the cross. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, we're going to talk about this in just a minute when we take communion together. On the night he's betrayed, knowing what is coming, he's just hours away from being brutalized, body broken, blood spilled, crucified on the cross for the sins of mankind. Knowing just hours away what was coming, he gives thanks. Father, I thank you, he says. That's what gratitude in the storm looks like. When you give thanks in suffering, you're walking in the footsteps of Jesus. The pastor, I don't want to suffer. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. It's life. Sometimes we struggle, but God is always faithful. So many times God has pulled me out of the fire, man. But even if he doesn't, I remain thankful and grateful. I don't always get the answer I want. Sometimes people say, well, God didn't answer my prayers. Yeah, he did. Sometimes the answer is no. Right? Anybody got kids? I got an answer for you. No. Storms will come, financial storms, health storms, relational storms. But when they do, remember Habakkuk's song, though the fig tree does not blossom, yet will I rejoice, yet will I give thanks, yet will I praise God, even if I don't get what I want. Thanksgiving in the storm is not naive optimism. It's a grounded trust. It's the steady conviction that God is still on the throne, still working, still worthy. So this Thanksgiving Day, don't wait for perfect circumstances to praise him. Don't let fear silence your gratitude. Let your thank you be louder than your why me. Because your storm does not define you. Your Savior does. And the God who walks with you in the storm will someday completely calm it. So even when things go wrong, the heart can still sing. And the song is this: thank you, Lord. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Amen. I'm going to ask our ushers to get ready to service communion this morning. This is, as we just mentioned, when Jesus was getting ready to be brutalized, he gave thanks. He took the bread. He said, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. And this is how we're able to enjoy the grace of God in our lives, because of what Jesus suffered for us. And we're supposed to remember that when we take communion. But the Bible says before we take it, we should pause and examine ourselves. So with those words in mind, I want you to bow your heads as I pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the cup this morning, And in obedience to the scriptures, we pause now to examine ourselves. If we have sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, doing something we should not have done, maybe failing to do something that we should have done, if we haven't been a grateful people, if our why me's are much louder than thank you, if we've not loved our neighbors as we love ourselves, we give for the sake of your beloved son Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, we pray have mercy on all of us and forgive us of all of our sins. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. While heads are bowed, people are reflecting. Maybe you're here this morning thinking, you know, I've never done anything that you guys are talking about this morning. I really don't know God the way you're talking about, the way you're singing about. But you can right now, in your own words, just whisper to Jesus. Say, Jesus, please come into my life and forgive me of all of my sins. And he will lift the weight of the world off of your shoulders this morning as you put your hope and your trust in him. Amen.